Amen. Amen. Please go with me to John 3. Ever since I went Apple, they have a little icon called Launchpad where I can find my app. So I said, this is our Launchpad. Okay. And being that this is still 2016, I'm sharing from the Message Bible. I don't know what translation he's going to have me use next year. Okay. But it reads, this is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son, and this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. I need to stop there for a minute. Because sometimes, we have a tendency to look at people and look at what those people may have done or are doing. We have no clue as to why they're doing it or what's really in their heart. We don't. God knows. And he sent Jesus and he said, anyone, that means no matter how raggedy they're acting, no matter how mean they may be behaving, they fall under the category of anyone. And we need to learn how to treat everybody like they're anyone, because Jesus came so that anyone can have a whole and lasting life. And as believers, we should want that for everybody, because Christ was God's son, and we're sons of God. So we should want what our Father wants. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. Boy, are we good at that. He came to help, to put this world right again. And that should be our only purpose. But this is Christmas, as I said earlier. And see, God had a God doesn't just do things because he can. There is a purpose for everything that he does. And we need to make sure that there is a purpose for everything that we do. And we have to make sure that our purpose, it's not correct English, but our purpose be his purpose. I mean, that's what we have to make sure. Because if our purpose is his purpose, then we'll always be on the right track. We'll always be in the right place. And we'll always say the right things. But God, knowing everything, he knew that even though he had a plan, man was going to have some missteps along the way. And so being the planner that he is and taking into consideration everything, because he knows everything, he put provisions in there along the way. In Genesis 1, would you go there, please? You know, just to give you just a little, we don't have time to go into it today, but Genesis 1:1 can be misleading, because Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Then it says, and the earth did what? And that would lead you to believe that God made a mess. No, when you study that out, it says the earth became void and darkness was on the face of the deep. Well, he said, when did that happen? When Satan fell like lightning and hit the earth, then it became dark. Then it became void. But when God was recreating, in verse 26, it says, and it's the New International Version, then God said, let us make man, or mankind, and don't get hung up on man. When the Bible says man, it's referring to mankind or humans. Okay, it's not a male-female thing. It said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. How were we made? In his image and in his Well, actually, it says in our image, in our likeness. So that means we were made in the image and likeness of the Godhead, of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. He said, and let them, or was it so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So I don't know why anyone's afraid of insects and snakes and all that stuff. You have dominion. You know, if the snake started flying, that means it's flying in the air. You still have dominion. Okay. And God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. See, when something is subdued, it means at one point it was out of control. And so the earth was out of control. And God put mankind on the earth to bring it under control. Now, what's God's image and likeness? Because since we're made in his image and likeness, so what is his image and likeness? Well, go to John 4. Let me know when you get there. This is in the King James. Let's read verse 24 together. Is everyone there? Let's read it. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God is a spirit. Mankind was made in God's image, so mankind is also spirit. Say, man like God is a spirit. All right, remember that because I'm going to get back to it. But see, and God's plan for man was to live forever. Say, well, how do you know that? Well, when he gave instructions to Adam and Eve, he said, you can eat of all of these trees, but of this one, don't eat. Because the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. And I'm thinking, oh, if his punishment was death. See, normally you get punished by something that wouldn't normally happen. I mean, that's what it, I hope you guys, you children, you don't go around getting spanked every day. You know, if you do call me, we'll have some counseling. All right. But if God said, if you do this, you will die, dying must have been something unnatural. Unnatural. God saying, if you can't listen to me, I don't need you here. In essence, that's what he was saying. And that let me know a couple of things. One, that if man remained obedient to God, they would always remain with God. And the opposite of that is that if man was disobedient, he'd be separated from God. So God said, okay, you can be separated to me or you can be with me. All you have to do is what I say. It's that simple, okay? How many of you ever felt growing up or maybe even now that you have too many rules that you have to follow? You can raise your hand. It's okay. Your parents are looking at me. They won't see you. Adam and Eve had two. That's it. Two rules. Be fruitful and multiply. To replenish the earth, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's it. Two rules. And they couldn't handle that. Two rules. Man didn't follow God's direction. He didn't keep the garden. Didn't keep it. Because if he had kept the garden, we need to understand something. Adam and God were in tune. Adam knew God's thoughts. God, of course, knew Adam's thoughts. So what God knew, Adam knew. We could say what God knew, man knew. God knew Satan was in the garden. Where does it say that? Why would he need someone to keep the garden if there wasn't anything going to be happen in it? He needed someone to be on the lookout. That's why do police patrol? They know that the bad guys are out there, and their job is to stop them. Well, Adam was placed in the garden to keep it, and he didn't keep it. He let Satan come in, and he let Satan go into the serpent. And I'm going to show you how I know that so in a few minutes. But when man sinned, and God's position, and you'll find this in Romans 9:6, the wages of sin is death. Period. So that means since mankind sinned, the only punishment available for that sin was death. Now, these are the only two people on the earth with God's prized possessions. And if God kills them, allows them to die, then the devil wins. Because now that they're no more humans, and the devil remains in control of this planet, and he could put it back into a state of being dark and void. So God had to have another plan in mind. See, God had to deal with three issues. If man stayed in the garden in that sinful state and ate from the tree of life, man would live forever in sin, with no possible hope of any redemption, because they would be eating from the tree of life. Also, when Adam ate of that fruit, he gave authority in that garden, in the earth, to the devil. So now man no longer has the ability to subdue the earth. I always have this picture in mind, because there were no such things as wild animals when God created the garden. There was, everybody got along in harmony. But now, because Adam and Eve sinned, now you have adversarial conditions. Because, see, a kingdom, as a general rule of thumb, a kingdom usually takes on the characteristics of the king. Well, when Adam and Eve sinned, the new king was the devil. And some creatures took on his personality. Do you actually think that God made creatures that pretend to be food for another creature just so they can kill it? Think about that. You know, I mean, where do you think God gave these animals the instinct to be ambush hunters? No, they got that from the devil. So now you have these two adversarial positions going on here on the earth. And also, secondly, God said man would surely die. I left that one out. The second thing was that God's problem he had to solve was that now man was doomed to death, to permanent separation from him. He did not want that. He didn't want Satan in authority. He didn't want man to die. He didn't want man to live sinfully. So in the midst of that chaos, God spoke a plan. In Genesis 3:15, the Amplified Bible, just stay with me. I'm taking you somewhere. Genesis 3:15 in the Amplified Bible, God said, speaking to Satan, the serpent, I will put enmity, that means open hostility, between you and the woman, and between your seed, offspring, and her seed. He shall fatally bruise your head, that means break the lordship of the ruler, and you shall only bruise his heel, that means you'll be persecuted. So he was telling the woman that your offspring is going to break the head of the lordship of Satan, but Satan's going to persecute your offspring. I like the way the Voice translation says it. It says, I will make you and your brood enemies of the woman and all her children. This is the part I like. The woman's child will stomp your head. I can't help it. I like that part. And you will strike his heel. But see, but God said the seed of the woman was going to do this. Well, now anybody that has taken biology knows that the woman doesn't have the seed. The woman has the egg. The man has the seed. So how can there be a seed of the woman? And why would it have to be the woman's seed? God needed someone who would be able to free mankind from sin, to dethrone the devil, and to reconcile mankind and God. And Adam didn't qualify. Look at Job 9. Because at that point in time, there was nobody. Job 9, verse 1, then Job answered and said, yes, I know it's true, but how can a mortal man be right before God? It was Job was saying, how we're mortal. We're human. God is deity. How can a mortal man be right? How can a human be right before deity? Drop down to 32. For God is not a mere man as I am, that I should answer him, that we should come together in court. So he's like, we can't go to God and sit across the table and work things out. There's no man, there's no human being right now, right then, that could do that. Job said, there's no umpire. Your translation probably said, there's no daysman between us who might lay his hand upon us both. Would that there were? He said, oh, I wish there was. I wish there was an umpire. What does an umpire do? He resolves disputes. And the closely says, nope, out, safe. Charge, blocking, you know, whatever it is. He makes the call. And Job was telling us there is nobody that can do that. So whoever was going to break the lordship of the ruler had to have some unique qualities. Say unique qualities. See, there's this conflict between God and mankind. That empire had to be able to approach God through deity and approach man through humanity. In order to do that, this one person had to be both man and God. Man and God had to coexist in one body in order for there to be a mediator. And there had to be a mediator. And in order to have deity, the person had to be sinless. In order to have humanity, he had to be subjected to the same types of temptations that Adam was. Because if he wasn't, he wouldn't qualify for humanity. So he would have to experience everything that humanity would experience and remain sinless. And at that time, there was no one. Look at 1 Timothy. I'm going to share this also in the Amplified Classic because it makes it plain. 1 Timothy 2. I don't know why this seems to be the standard beat up women scripture. What, when you understand what it means, for the life of me, I can't figure out why. Verse 13 says, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. Verse 14, and it was not Adam who who was deceived. But the woman who was deceived and deluded and fell into transgression. Women are given a bad rap because of that scripture, but the truth of the matter is the woman was deceived. She didn't know what was going on. But the Bible says Adam was not deceived. Adam knew exactly what was taking place. Adam knew it was the serpent speaking to his wife. I can't understand how any husband could let an adversary seduce his wife in his presence. I mean, I could wrap my head around a little bit if I'm not there and someone starts talking stuff to my wife, but I'm standing next to her and you're going to do that in my presence? What is it that you know about me that you think that's okay? Because if you really knew about me, you would accept Jesus Christ, because what's about to happen to you, you were going to meet him. I mean, you're about that, as Melvin Duckenfield, the former youth director, used to say, you're about to have hands laid on you hard, fast, and repeatedly. Okay. But Eve was deceived, and she fell into sin. Adam walked into it with his eyes wide open. So because of Adam's guilt, any child that he sired would also have that willful inclination to sin, because he sinned willfully. Eve was deceived. He was not. So Adam's offspring was disqualified from being a mediator between man and God, because all of Adam's offspring would have that willful inclination to sin. We call it the sin nature, but that's all it means. And they wouldn't be able to help themselves. They would just have to do it. Have to. That's why folks say to me, you know, when we might be in advisory sessions, and they say, well, Pastor, I don't think that that's fair. And I said, you don't think what's fair? Well, we keep being compared to Jesus, but he didn't have the sin nature. So how can we be expected not to sin? We have the sin nature. I said, Adam didn't have the sin nature, and he sinned. The devil didn't have the sin nature, and look what happened to him. Okay? It's about choices. It's about your will. And Adam willfully sinned. He chose to sin. So it couldn't be any of Adam's descendants. So God, it has to be the descendant of the woman or the seed of the woman. But because the woman doesn't have the seed, there was another problem that God had to overcome. I'm going to read this because it's the way God gave it to me. Whoever was going to be the mediator had to be both human and God, as I shared for you to you earlier. But there was another category. He had to be able to die. Deity doesn't die. So he had to have someone that was human, that was God, who could die and then rise up from the dead. Because if he stayed dead, the devil still won. Because how many know you can't mediate something if you're dead? Okay. So the mediator had to live. He had to have the ability to control sin. Had to. And if death can't hold you, nothing else can either. So it was very important that this mediator be God and human, be able to die, and also rise again, because he had to demonstrate absolute authority here in the earth. So see, Jesus said, well, I'll wrap myself in flesh, I'll come as my son. So the Son of God came, but when the Son of God came, he became the Son of Man. And Jesus, during his entire time here on this planet, never operated as the Son of God. Because if he operated the Son of God, he wouldn't have been a good mediator. He couldn't be the example for us because we were not the sons of God. He had to operate as the Son of Man, empowered by God. Do you understand? It's very important to understand that. Now remember, we read the verse in Romans that said, the wages of sin is death. But it also says, the gift of God is eternal life. So God said, I need to send a gift to mankind so that mankind will have eternal life. And not just eternal life, but eternal life with me. And that's where the merger comes in. See, in business, there are a lot of reasons why companies merge. One of the reasons they merge, you get two corporations of similar entities, similar characteristics, and they come together for a declared purpose. So you have two, sometimes they're opposing forces. And they look at it and they say, you know what? In order for us to have what we want, we have to come together. And God said there has to be a merger. Remember we read that God made us in his image and after his likeness? And we found out that God is spirit. And I said, do you remember that? Well, God is spirit, man is spirit. We have similar characteristics. So we're compatible for this merger to take place. And that merger had to take place so deity could coexist. Deity and humanity could coexist in a person. And God wanted that person to be in a position to stand in his presence. And that person also had to be able to function as a human being. His purpose for having that mediator was threefold. He wanted to free mankind from the sin. He wanted to dethrone the devil. And he wants to reconcile man to him. So since there was no human, God said, it's got to be a gift from me. It just has to be a gift. It can't come naturally because all of the natural components don't qualify. So this has to be a gift from me. Look at John 1. John 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, that says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. The man, the human, Christ Jesus. So God decided that Jesus would be the one to wrap himself in flesh and come into this world as the gift of God to make things right again. To make you say, well, I thought it was God wrapped in the flesh. Well, it says right here, the Word was with God and the Word was God. So Jesus was God and is God. And when he came here on the earth, he was God wrapped in flesh. He was a human and he was deity. When God made that decision, being the planet that he is, he had a board meeting of the Godhead, and like a briefing session, and he had to tell Jesus exactly what was going to happen, all right? As told in Isaiah 53, he said, you'll grow up before me like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. You'll have no beauty or majesty to attract anyone to you. Nothing in your appearance that men will desire you. He said, you'll be despised and rejected of men. The same men who you came to serve, to save, they're going to reject you. He said, surely, surely. That's like saying you absolutely will. Take up their infirmities and carry their sorrows. Yet they will consider you stricken and smitten by me. You'll be pierced for their transgressions. We said you will be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Everything that we need to have peace is going to be placed on you. And with your stripes, the humans are going to be healed. That's what he told them. He said, all of mankind like sheep are going to go astray, every one of them. He said, each of them will turn to their own way, but I will lay on you, Jesus, the iniquity of them all. So that means everything that you do wrong, God blames Jesus. That's what he's saying, all right? You'll be oppressed and afflicted, yet you cannot open your mouth. You can't say, I didn't do it. It's not me. You can't say, no, it was my little brother. He said, you can't say anything. You can't even say I'm innocent. He said, you'll be led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, you shall not open your mouth. But again, he has to face all the persecution that mankind faces because he has to have that humanity and not sin. That's why the Bible says he was tempted in all ways, just like we are, yet without sin. It says, by oppression and judgment you will be taken away. You will be cut off from the land of the living. It said, you must be stricken. I'll assign you a grave with the wicked and the rich in your death, though you have done no violence. It says, so you're going to have to die even though you've done nothing wrong. Because if he did something wrong, he wouldn't be a pure sacrifice. He said, after the suffering of your soul, you will see the light of life and be satisfied. You will bear the sins of many and make intercession for the transgressors. So God had his plan set. He told everybody exactly what was going to happen. Yeah, and I'm thinking, I wish he'd do that with me so I would know. But he just laid it out. He said, all of these things you're going to have to endure. And Jesus still said, okay, Dad, I'll do it. Period. I'll do it. But so the plan is set. God had given all the instructions. Everybody knows what to do. But Jesus just couldn't show up in the hospital one day and go, ta-da, here I am. I mean, because if he did that, again, he wouldn't be humanity. He had to come the way of all humanity. And that is by birth. But, even though he came by birth, he couldn't be sired by a human being. Isaiah 9 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. And then it says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Not another human being, but the Holy Ghost will perform it. Turn to Luke 1, and we're going to read how this happened. Because this merger is about to take place. Now, in the sixth month after that, and that's talking about Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee named Nazareth, to a girl never having been married and a virgin. Engaged to be married to a man whose name was Joseph, a descendant of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, hail, O favored one, endued with grace, The Lord is with you. Blessed, favored of God, are you before all other women. But when she saw him, she was greatly troubled and disturbed and confused at what he said and kept revolving in her mind what such a greeting means. She was, anybody ever say something to you and you say, I wonder what they meant by that? Why would they say that? Well, that's what she was thinking. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found grace, free, spontaneous, absolute favor and loving kindness with God. And listen, you will become pregnant and will give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And I'm surprised Mary didn't just pass right out on the floor at that point, because this is someone that's about 13, 14 years old, never married, engaged to be married, a virgin, and now here's an angel from God telling her, you're gonna become pregnant and give birth to a son and call his name Jesus. Said, he will be great, eminent, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his forefather David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob throughout the ages, and his reign and of his reign there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I have no intimacy with any man as a husband? And the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you like a shining cloud. And so the holy, pure, sinless thing, offspring which shall be born of you, will be called the Son of God. They need to think about what this young woman, young teenager, is thinking. You're telling me I'm going to become pregnant before I'm married, before I've ever been intimate, and give birth to a child. Do you not know the customs of this country? Okay. I'll never make it past 3 months. As soon as I start, as soon as I start showing, I'm going to be taken to the edge of the city and stoned to death. And what do I say to Joseph? Now I'm asking you, husbands. You come home from work one day, and your wife greets you, big smile on her. Guess what? What, honey? I'm pregnant by the Holy Ghost. Let me get the number of a divorce attorney here. Or your fiance. You have to explain this to your fiance. That, no. This is from the Holy Ghost. This is the Son of God that I'm carrying. You're like, oh, really? But you have to imagine the belief that had to be going on at that moment. Mary had to absolutely believe every single word that the angel said to her. And she had to believe that since this was of God, she was going to be all right. And to illustrate to Mary that this can happen, in verse 36, the angel says to her, and listen. And again, if someone says to you, no, listen, it's because you're just rambling on about things. And that, again, I like to think of, when I read the Bible and read these encounters, I think of them in natural terms. How would a normal person respond to this? And she's probably just going on, and they said, listen, okay? Your relative Elizabeth in her old age, someone said that she was 40. I'm like, 40 is not old, okay? In her old age has also conceived a son, and this is now the 6th month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. And the Bible says, then Mary said, after she heard that, and that bore witness in her spirit, then Mary said, behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. And she said something, folks, that we all need to take note of and pattern our lives. Let it be done to me according to what you have said. And she was talking to the angel, the messenger of God. Let it be unto me according to what God said. Period. And the angel left her. In Matthew's version, Matthew said the birth of Jesus Christ happened like this. When Mary was engaged to Joseph just before her marriage, she was discovered to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Whereupon Joseph, her future husband, who was a good man, that's why it's important to make sure you're with the right person, who was a good man and did not want to see her disgraced, planned to break off the engagement quietly. But while he was turning the matter over in his mind, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. What she has conceived is conceived through the Holy Spirit, and she will give birth to a son whom you will call Jesus the Savior, for it is he who will save his people. In Luke 2, it talks about, you know, the Caesar having imposing the tax and everybody having to go to the different places because Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem. So they had to go from where they were to Bethlehem. And he said, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger because there was no room for them at the inn. Folks, swaddling clothes, really swaddling cloths is more accurate. And what swaddling cloths are, they were used to wrap wounds. They were used to keep a person while they healed. And it was significant for Jesus to be wrapped in swaddling cloths because it was a sign that he was going to be healer. He was going to keep people whole. Whole. And it says there was no room for him in the inn because people were going to not have time to get to know him. There's a people, it's Christmas, I don't have time. I'm going to celebrate the person that gave me eternal life, but I don't have time to go to church. I don't have time to stay there and pray. I don't have time for him. But if we understand why he came, you know what we'll do? We'll make time. We'll make room for him in our hearts. We can't let other things get in our hearts so there's no room for him. It said the angel came and said to them, fear not. Fear not. That's what it said to all the shepherds that were about. He said, fear not. For I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. A Savior. So now the merge is complete. Now there is a person who is human, he has humanity, and he has deity. He doesn't have the willful inclination to sin because he wasn't sired from the lineage of Adam. He was sired by the Holy Ghost. So we have in a person God and mankind coexisting. That's why the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Because there was no such creature before that could have that. Before that happened, you couldn't be born again. All you could be was under the law. And it was impossible for you to follow the law. Because if it were possible, there wouldn't be any reason for a mediator. But now, you can no longer, you can't say and be telling the truth, the devil made me do it. You can't say that. Because deity doesn't submit to the devil. And in you, you have deity. But you also have humanity. And God wanted you to have a choice. So you can listen to your spirit or you can listen to your flesh. That's why it was important for the one, for the Christ to come in flesh. Because I'm sure throughout his walk, we're not going to go into that now because that'll take us right into resurrection. If I start talking about that, you'll be here till Wednesday. Okay. But that's why it's so important, folks, that we're aware of who we are. Not know, we have to be aware. That means we have to know what it means to be a Christian, what it means to have Jesus living and active on the inside of you. I mean, that brace of people say, what would Jesus do? You know, I mean, that's a good thing. You also have to think, what has Jesus done for you? One of the reasons, I just made a choice that there are things I'm going to do, that I'm doing, that I should have been doing, just to be a good keeper of this temple that God gave me, is I've been thinking about what he has done, especially the last few months. And it's like, because of what how can I do this when Jesus did exactly for me what he said he would? He took away the power of the enemy to harm me. So how can I know, just go right back into any old whatever? So you have to be aware. You have to be aware that the Christmas story is not just this little, sweet little baby, Jesus boy, born in a manger. There was a specific purpose for him being born. It was to merge deity and humanity so that man could again be in a position to spend eternity with God. Period. All of your sins are placed on Jesus. I mean, that's just the way it is. And if you miss it, you have 1 John 1:9. If you're sincere. And we have to understand that. Can't just say, well, I'll go do what I want to, and then when I'm finished, I'll go just go and confess 1 John 1:9. Everything is great again. That would work, but here's the problem. Some of you have heard me say this before. Search your Bible and find a scripture that says, and thou shalt survive the sin to confess 1 John 1:9. If you find that scripture, go out and do whatever you want, whenever you want. But there is no guarantee. And you don't have to do it. Because when you receive Jesus Christ, when you receive his deity, you no longer have a willful inclination to sin. And you think about the time that you know, we don't like to say we sinned. We like to say we missed it because it sounds better. You know, I wonder how many people would act better if you just went up to them and said, you know, you just sinned. No, we say you acted up, you misbehaved. You know, all these are nice words. I like what Jesse the Planist did on that plane that time. When this woman started trying to pick him up, he screamed out, Jezebel! Jezebel! I'm like, I bet she didn't do that again. But you don't have to. You could say, no, I'm not. And be honest. Yeah, my body feels like doing this. But how can I do this thing and sin against God? Period. After all he's done for me, the only reason I'm here is because he gave me his gift of eternal life. Because he merged deity and humanity together, now I can live forever. I'm telling you. See, that's what we need to talk more about, the what I call the full Christmas story. See, we talk about the end of really the middle of it, really, because the end of it is resurrection. You know, but we need to understand why Christ had to be born the way he was born. Because I think it gives it different meaning. There had to be a merger between deity and humanity, between God and man. And that merger is called Christ Jesus. Would you stand on your feet for me, please?